Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios today is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
We'll give a shout out to John, who normally joins us on Thursday. He is headed to Pennsylvania with Elijah.
Awesome.
Have an awesome trip, man. It's going to be fun. Send us some pictures. We want video with volume. Give a shout out this morning to Derek Grice. What a wonderful, wonderful time that was. I look forward to having you with us Friday. We'll give a shout out to the Emerald Coast this morning. We're excited to hear about all the positive feedback from VFN Radio and how you're being encouraged. That's what we're here for. Give a shout out to Joanne. What a blessing. Thank you for the kind words. Sarah. Praise the Lord, Sarah. That is so awesome how God has healed you. Good morning, 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 morning. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton this morning.
Good morning, morning.
John's not going to be with us because he and Elijah are headed to Pennsylvania to do zip lines and campfires and all that wonderful stuff. I got a picture for him this morning, all packed up in the van and just all smiles. And it's just so cool to see the guys going out. You know, this is the time, you know, as he talked about, of, you know, the rite of passage, you know, time, you know, for a father to speak into his child's life and begin to just speak positive. Remember, we might have a chance to talk about that today because the Lord is really speaking to me this morning about how he's giving us as his creation, as people who are made in his image and his likeness, as his sons and daughters, the ability to call things what we believe they need to be.
Right.
And he just sits and he waits for us to name them. And he goes, that's what they'll be.
Oh, wow.
You know, somebody says, well, what's your problem? I said, this is what you named me. You know, if you would have given me something better than that. And so, you know, it's so powerful. So I'm excited about what's happening out there in Pennsylvania, you know, right there on the Delaware. As a matter of fact, they're going to be there right where George Washington, you know, crossed the Delaware.
Cool.
And all those wonderful things. We're excited about that. I do want to say this morning that if you are struggling, if you feel in your heart that your prayers are going up and hitting like a ceiling over your head, imagine if you were throwing something up and you wanted to throw it in the air, but you were in the house. And so when you threw it, if you have a house with 8-foot ceilings or 10-foot ceilings or 6-foot ceilings, you know, it's going to stop when it hits the ceiling. It's like a ceiling over your prayers. And if you feel that's you, I want to tell you something, that God knows your thoughts and needs and prayers before you even pray them. Though to you it feels like they're hitting brass ceilings, though it feels to you that, you know, they're not going anywhere, before they even left your mouth, God knew what you had need of. And no, this is just a time of you trusting and having faith in God, and know that you're just going to, you know, he loves you. He's got a plan for your life. And that this is when faith kicks in. You know, faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. You know, John Bevere talks about in his book, The Fear of the Lord, he says, you know, there's people that trust God as long as the provision's there, but as soon as the provision runs out, they stop trusting him. Was that really trust in God or trust in provision?
That's right.
And so everybody's going to be tested. You know, you're going to go through the time of testing. It's called the testing of your faith, which is more precious than gold, that Peter said. And so, you know, rejoice in those times of testing. You know what? Despite this water being bitter, and I know that I'm going to be drinking milk from and honey from these wonderful lands, I know I can get through these bitter circumstances.
Right.
And just hold on, because in the end, it's just you and God, you know, and that's what you present to him. He says, your testing of your faith is more precious than gold. This is the only thing that you'll have to offer Jesus when we get to heaven is what made it through the fire of testing. Mm. I mean, you know, people, most, the big gospel that's being preached right now that we talk about quite often in America is, you know, you can make it through the fire. But you know what? Your faith can make it through the fire. You can do something for God.
Right.
You know, you can believe God. You can begin to name things. You can begin to have a vision to see God's kingdom here in the hearts of men and to see people one to the Lord. It's more than just you. It's about all.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Not collective salvation, though, Lord. But it's all. It's about everybody. God loves even the ones that are held captive right now by some twisted doctrines of false prophets and may seem the enemy of you or of the church, realize that, you know, if you look at history, if you pause long enough just to read and to look, it's always happened. But Saul was against the church. He was going to kill the church. He was going not to, he was not going to the local stadium. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to the local mega building. He wasn't going to the local shopping center front building, and he wasn't going to the hotel renting room church building, and he wasn't going to the he wasn't going to the funeral home renting room building, and he wasn't going to the coffee shop, or he was going to houses.
Right.
He was going house to house, and he was dragging the church out of the houses to be able to kill them and persecute them and imprison them. And Stephen was one of them, remember?
Right.
And he went up there, he says, listen, you know, he was talking to the local religious Pharisee and said, you know, hey, I decided I want to do some more of these Christians in because <You know? laughs> they're not righteous like us and they're, you know, yada yada. Right. And so in the context of that, the local leaders of that day that were blind and didn't know what they were doing, Jesus said, it's like the blind leading the blind.
Mm-hmm.
Do what they say, but don't do what they do.
Right.
And so, speaking of that, remind me of the here. I got one more part of that that God gave me. But so he gets a letter. Somebody wrote a letter. They wrote a letter. He said, here is you, authority, Saul. I want you to take this letter to and go to Damascus, and I want you to do what's on your heart to be able to imprison and persecute. And you just stop. You just stop.
Mm-hmm.
Go stop God. You know, what a job, right? What a
good
job.
Luck with that one.
But Saul, you know, Saul's a, you know, okay, I've been doing it already, you know.
Right.
I mean, he was the Pharisee of the Pharisees, man.
Right.
I mean, if anybody had any dues, even he considered dung after a while, it was Saul, right?
Mm-hmm.
But on his road, he was riding his, I'll go NIV, he was riding his donkey. He was riding his donkey, his mule.
Right.
And a mule for this culture is not a four-wheeler that you take out and play in the field. Or you see Duck Dynasty right around. More on Duck Dynasty later.
Yes.
And so that he was on his mule, and he was riding a mule. Today it might be a Cadillac or something, or Lincoln or Corvette.
Right.
But he was in his vehicle, and his intentions were, he had a letter in his hand, he wanted to kill the church in the name of God. He wanted to go, and he wanted to hurt believers. He wanted to imprison them. He wanted to stone them.
Right.
I mean, you know, being killed is one thing, but being stoned, man, that's like, oh my God. And you know, for the people in the 60s and 70s, I'm talking about rocks. Being stoned. And so in the context of that, God's watching every bit of this, every single bit of this. And what he did, listen to this, you got to hear this. He was riding his high horse or low donkey, and he was going to the local houses where the church was at. He's going to drag him out and have him stoned or whatever. And God just says, you know, I had it with this.
Mm-hmm.
I just had it with this. This is because he's been doing it at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he just had it with it.
Right.
And he was just it. You notice that he didn't have it with the one who wrote the letter. He had it with the one that thought it was his duty to do in the church. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Only because he was
right.
Yeah. Right to us. And so he's going. And Jesus just says, well, let me just turn my flashlight on. I mean, Jesus shows up, man. You know, he just shows up, bam! And the light is so bright. It was so blinding that Saul fell off of his donkey, his mule. He hits the ground. I mean, it's so hot. It dries his skin so much that his eyes seal shut. I mean, literally, he's still shot. He just goes blind.
Mm-hmm.
He's got like scales over his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like being in Arizona with no moisturizer. They say it's dry heat. Well, I'm from Florida. We have wet heat.
Yeah, right.
You got some of that saline stuff. Anyway, so and so here he is. This is God showing up. And then he says this. And this is very important for all of us to understand that we're to love the church, which the church is not buildings. I don't care if it's in a house, coffee shop, or a mega or stadium. I mean, it's people. It's people. And he said, Saul. This is God. Saul, Saul. He says, why are you persecuting me? Why are you kicking against the goads?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And early on, you know, in Acts, he writes, he says, listen, if you know, if this is not God, it's going to die out. But if it is God, you're going to find yourself fighting against God. Mm-hmm. And it proved true with Saul. Saul found himself fighting against God, and he didn't understand this God that he thought he was serving. He was actually killing.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause he said, whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do it to me. I mean, think about this, that he was killing, stoning, and imprisoning Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
You know?
That's wild.
You know, God's going, why are you doing this to me? And, of course, somebody who's held captive would go, Jesus, you know, you and me are tight. We have a private prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just taking these others out for you because they might take my kingdom.
Right.
And, of course, boom, you know, he shows up and all of a sudden he's blinded and God, you know, he encountered Jesus. Jesus is encountering him. He says, listen, knock it off.
Mm-hmm.
Quit messing with my people. Quit messing with me. Why are you persecuting me?
Right.
Think about it. Why are you persecuting me? This is why we talk good about the church. This is why we love the church, not the buildings. We've got to break that mindset. I know we're beginning this conversation. We got to really do a lot of work on it because I mean, people are defending their organizations. They're defending, you know, their, you know, men's religions and philosophies and traditions. And yes, you know, they're wearing big pendants that says, I love my church. And It's like, no, it's actually Jesus's church, and it's not the building or the organization, even though it may be a pretty one. I'm not saying it's not a good building. I'm saying it's not the church. and we understand this when we talk. We got to be careful how we treat each other because, you know, that'll restrain you when you understand to do anything to that believer, you know, wrongly is to do it against Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Somebody says, well, why didn't you say something back? You can't say something back because it's Jesus. You know, God will deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
God will, believe me, ask Saul.
Right? Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, in the middle of nowhere, on the major dirt highway to Damascus, you know, Jesus shows up and tells him, listen, you've been doing this to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, let me show you some things you must suffer.
Right.
You know, go to street, you know, and he stayed there. And it was really interesting, too, that, you know, and he changed his name from Saul to Paul. This is Paul. He ended up writing half of the New Testament almost. And so understand this, and this is what I was talking about, that though you may have a naysayer today, though you may have somebody biting at your heels, and you may have lost people because of this person, understand in a moment, not in a twinkling of an eye, but in a sealing of their eyes with a bright light, mm-hmm. they can change in a moment.
Right.
I mean, God is in control. I mean, when you're reading Genesis chapter 1, you know, I mean, it was just water. Mm-hmm. And then God's spirit hovers over it. And then he begins to speak. And then he looks at the ground and he says, he made trees grow.
You know? Right.
Listen, he can take that man or that woman to their knees at a heartbeat. He could turn every saloon, every brothel into a place where church gathers in a second. You know, like Tozer says, you know, but the whole thing is, it's about us. It's not about him forcing us. It's about us being willing. This is our faith, being willing to follow him. So don't worry about it. Sometimes, you know, it is that adjutant. It's that thing. You know, God will often use, you know, things out of control to bring his people in control. And somebody says, well, when is that going to stop? And it's like, when you get to the place I told you to be, right?
Right.
And so I want to encourage you that if he could stop Saul, who stoned Stephen, who was looking at the face of God, he's looking at God. Understand, Stephen is looking at the face of God, and Saul sits there with Stephen's clothes at his feet as he orchestrated the stoning
mm-hmm.
of a Christian, of his stoning of Jesus, right?
Right.
Because he says, whatever you do, you're going to do this against me. So he actually stoned Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen, what a man, right?
Yeah.
He's just looking with a smile on his face and preaching the gospel.
I know.
You know, we're calling an attorney. They're going to stone me. They're going to stone me. No. And he saw the face of God, and he just kind of glowed with the glory of God, and that he understood what we need to understand, that this life is but a moment. It is but a twinkling of an eye. It's a vapor, James says, and that it's between you and God, and you don't want to mess up. Because there's adjutants. Because, you know, think about a dishwasher, or not a dishwasher, but a washing machine. You know how clothes get clean?
Mm-hmm.
Through agitation.
Oh, that's right.
Right?
Yeah.
That I hear. I remember.
Yeah, right. Somebody told you
yeah,
once.
Yeah, right. Somebody told me once. And you put the clothes in the top, I guess, or the
side.
Yeah,
there's a hole on the top.
Yeah, or things.
At least the older ones, anyway. What I got.
And you throw them in there, and they're dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you put in the truth. No, you put in the washer, laundry soap.
Detergent.
Right? Detergent, right? Right. And this is what Malachi chapter 3 says. Mm-hmm. He says to wash with detergent, laundry detergent.
Oh, wow.
Not laundry, but detergent.
Yep.
And to clean and to purify. And so then it's still just soap, dirt, and clothes, right? It's still dirty.
Right.
Even though you're near the truth, it hasn't done anything for you yet, right?
Right.
And then all of a sudden, now you pour water in there,
mm-hmm.
the washing of the water of the word, right?
That's right.
And then it begins to kind of mix a little bit because it's got water, but it still, the truth's not going to really get in you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to get into you until you got some agitation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Right.
Because all of a sudden, you might have a whoosh whoosh or a slush slush or a pound pound, but what's happening is it's pounding those clothes. Years ago, they pound them with rocks on the river. Now you just, you know, thank God for washing machines. But it's actually agitating the clothes, agitating the dirt, and agitating the cleaning soap, the laundry soap. And through that agitation, with the proper laundry soap, and with us, he calls it the washing of the word, to sanctify us in John chapter 17 by the washing of the word. And Malachi chapter 3 talks about with soap, you know, that you're not clean, you need to be clean. And so understand there's agitants that will begin to cause God's truth to move in our life in a way that only agitation could cause that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing you know, through the spin cycle, your head spinning around, you'll come out like, so you're walking around clean, right? Squeaky clean. And
if you're really dirty, you throw in some bleach.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Do they? Anyway, so the
I saw it once.
You did saw it once, yeah. And so understanding that is like, wow. So then I need to thank God in all circumstances, in all situations, for this is God's will for me. Nothing snuck by, right?
Right.
Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks and with every not for it, but in when you're being agitated, still thank God, because this is God's will for you. We'll be right back. There is nothing, I meant nothing, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
Worse than man's religion,
you
know, man's attempt to work his way to God.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get right in my own works and stuff. And there's nothing more enjoyable than a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that he's called us to walk in intimacy with him. I mean, the statement, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is not just some pat answer to let somebody know that you're saved. The question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you guys chat? Do y'all talk?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you hear him? Do you know his voice? And that, you know, and you may be listening right now and thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I just listened to my preacher talk, or I just listened to my pastor speak, or I listened to teachers, or I read other people who heard from God. Which is, you know, that's cool. But God loves you and wants to talk to you.
Right.
You know, and people want this. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they just need a simple plan to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can find that plan. We have a plan for you that can begin you on a simple abiding plan. Because he says in John 15, apart from abiding with me, Jesus says this,
right.
you can do nothing.
Right.
And if you want to get freedom in your life, you want to begin to do something, you know what I'm saying? And watch what God's able to do. Begin from the point of success, which is abiding with him. You can go right now to iabide.org, just like the iPhone, iabide.org. Read a little bit about it. If you like it, go ahead and write there, request an abiding plan. Immediately, you'll be given an abiding plan. It has a video, has how to do it, some simple little steps to do it. And it's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. Listen, God wants to talk with you. Mm-hmm. You can write your own devotional. Listen, just try it for 6 weeks. Just say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm going to begin. Because they say it takes about 40 days to build a habit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take 6 weeks out of your life and say, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to abide daily at a certain time, at a certain place. And it has all this kind of tell you how to do it. And just watch what happens and see how your life begins. Watch how God begins to speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
You can find this at iabide.org. Request your free plan today at iabide.org. You know, Jesus said in John 15, he says, talking of himself, right, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I am the vine, talking of himself.
Right.
You, us, believers, are the branches.
Mm-hmm.
And his father, our father, mm-hmm. is the gardener.
Right.
And the vine just kind of grows where it wants to go. You know, it grows towards the sun. Natural vines grow towards the S-U-N.
Mm-hmm.
And spiritual vine and branches grow to the S-O-N.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is neat.
And so, you know, for God spoke to me about, as he called me out to be able to begin to do what we're doing today.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't just happen like this. And he said, very specifically, I'm going to teach you something for 3 years. That I'm going to use for the next 30 years of my church.
Wow.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And he confirmed that through Dutch Sheets. It was pretty cool how God had done that. Because you think, you know, when God's calling you, this might be you right now. You might be thinking, okay, I got the call. I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. You have to understand that there's a process of learning and growing that you need to understand. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. You know, when he said, get thee up and go to Abram, that meant 25 years, right?
Right.
Well, you need to get rightly related. You need to get connected to what God is doing. And we tried. So once the 3 years was up, it was amazing. Just right in time, God just showed up in a powerful way. He just nailed it. He said, it's finished. It's time to do it. It was just really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we started the 30-year journey.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, how can we explain this in a short period of time, you know, a condensed period of time to help people get perspective,
right,
of what Vine Fellowship Network's about, and it just integrates with the Word of God. It's just doing what God says,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so, Vine, which is Jesus is the vine,
mm-hmm.
fellowship is what the church does, and network, we all stay together and stay rightly related, which is you know, Psalms 133, you know,
right.
And John 17:23. And so, what came of that was called, we call it the Vine Seminar. The Vine Seminar, Vine Seminars, which is, there's several different seminars now that's evolved in, but knowing this, that the main seminar that started it was trying to explain,
mm-hmm.
how do you move from a flower pot to a vine? How do you move out of the fences and the confinement of men's tradition rightly, not wrongly,
right,
and follow God in the Great Commission? And God walked us through a way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he confirmed it every step of the way. We share that. We share that at the Vine Seminars. You can find out more at vineseminars.org. You can sign up for one in your city. Fill it out. Let them know that you're interested in it. And we'll make it available to you. It's vineseminars.org. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton. You know, I just saw, it was just hilarious, Marlene put this up. Give a shout out to Marlene this morning.
Mm-hmm.
A funny person.
Right.
To your own demise at times, funny. But she she sent this thing on her Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I kind of just kind of thought, there's so, I mean, it's just like, it's amazing. It's just like a newspaper moving at 90 miles an hour on your Facebook when, you know, things are being posted. But this one really stood out to me, amongst other ones, is that it's a tombstone, not tombstone, a headstone of a grave.
Uh-huh.
And you know how you get those emails that says, you know, you know, you get these emails and it says, you know, that you need to forward this to 10 other people you know, right, and if you don't, you know, you're not going to be blessed, and then you're like shocked, like
voice threats,
and you're shocked going, did he really do that? It's like, what are you doing? Aren't you busy? What are you doing that for? It's like, oh my goodness, you know? And so, you know, anyway, this is hilarious because if you're a minister, you've got a lot of those,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
And so it says on the headstone, it says on the headstone, it said, died from not forwarding that email to 10 people.
Oh my God.
Oh, is that something? It's that, like, you know, it's so much. It's so, I mean, you can't, you know, we're just talking about it in the break right there. You heard that, you know, that we're called to get involved, you know, even more than forwarding an email. We got to forward ourselves. We are the forward of Jesus, right. You know. And it makes me think about that. We were just, I was having lunch yesterday with Derek Grice. Derek will be on VFN Radio.
Awesome.
Friday.
Friday.
He'll be coming in Friday, and I can't wait for you to hear him. You know, I just love Derek, and he was part of the Next Step father and son camping trips. You know, back when he was 6'5" when he was 14.
Oh my God,
you know, he's a man now. He's got a beard, and he's like, you know, it's beautiful wife and children, and just like, isn't that amazing?
It is.
How are other people getting older, but we're not?
I don't know.
Of course, you did ask me how much gray hair you had.
You didn't volunteer, did you?
Oh, I can't count that. I got to count that. But, you know, we're sitting there, and we're talking about what God is doing. And he's just in love with the Lord. He loves the Word of God. And he writes, you know, lyrics for Jesus. And he just meditates on the Word. And okay, I'm not gonna steal his thunder, but you got to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And he just thinks it through, and he would just, you know, say one hook, one line,
mm-hmm.
and it just makes you go. And I know I repeated two of those to you guys yesterday.
Yeah.
And y'all were looking at me like, well, it's crazy. So I threw the third line in. Well, I threw the third line in, which was all his.
Yeah.
Y'all were like, oh, my goodness. I was like, yeah. It's beautiful. Good. I love the spoken word, mm-hmm. the you know, some people call it rap, some people call it poetry, but the reality is the language of this generation. And when it's well thought out, when it's submitted to God, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's beautiful. How can you say something that would just pierce the heart mm-hmm. of all, you know, that's going on? And it's just, he just has that gift to be able to do that. So he and I are talking, and just, you know, and David's with me, my grandson, you know, I said, David, he says, can I have, we're like at the Golden Corral, where there's like one big 300-foot trough that goes on for days,
it's,
you know.
Huge.
It's like, you know, people are like, we're like cows going up, going, oh, I want some of that lettuce, I want some of this, you know. But at the very end, they have this, you know, David wanted to go there because he wanted the chocolate water fountain. It has like a chocolate water fountain thing, you know. And, he just had his mind set on that. And I said, okay, that's fine. We'll go there. And so we all met up there, and Derek and I were going to meet. And so I said, well, he said, can I have all the dessert I want to? And he ate other food too. And I said, yes, as long as you have them one at a time.
Right.
One at a time. So Derek and I talked forever, right?
Yeah.
I looked over at David at first, and he had his first, you know, one thing on his plate, you know. I mean, you think, the reason why you say that, you know, they're going to full up, and they're not going to be full anymore, right?
Right.
And I looked over there, and he had like some M&Ms or something. And then, you know, 5 minutes later, I look back, and I see like cotton candy, a whole big thing of cotton candy, right? And I look back a little bit later. Then I see chocolate all around his mouth from that water. I'm like, he just kept on going back. And he, you know, he's like, I'm just thinking, my goodness. I think there was not one thing that he did not eat on that dessert bar.
Did he sleep last night?
Yeah, I know. You would think that, huh? He slept. He really did. It's pretty cool.
I went to sugar coma.
Yeah, I just love him. I just had a great time with him yesterday. But Derek and I are just, you know, it's like the cherubim and the seraphim. You know, we're like talking back and forth and about God and the goodness of God and the things that God's done and family and fathers and the father's anointing. And I'm not going to talk about what he's going to talk about on Friday. I mean, I'll let him share it himself. But in that, of course, presence was just all around. Not only was chocolate all around David's mouth, but God's presence was just like, woo, all around, our table, and we're talking, and there was this couple beside us sitting at a booth, and a lady and a man, and you know, you kind of notice people around you, but when you're talking about God, you're like zoomed in and focusing, mm-hmm. and Derek got up to go where David was going to get some dessert, and the lady's husband got up to go, you know, get something from the trough, and she looks over at me, and she pulls her hand out, and she barely gets these words out. She mm-hmm. barely gets them out, and she says, "Excuse me," like it's so, I can't even do it. It's just so her heart was so broken,
mm-hmm.
and she says, "Are you a minister?" And of course, I said, "Well, yes." And she said, "I could just tell. I could tell. I could just feel." And then she just looks away because she begins just tears pouring down her face.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I stopped and mm-hmm. took my chair and slid it over by her booth. And I'm thinking, "Oh my, bless your heart. You know what's going on?" And so I just want to pick her up and just hold her, yeah. you know. And I have my arm around her and then the booth. And she begins. Her name is Glenda. She began to just share with me, you know, that she just got word from the doctor that she has a about the size of about an inch and a half tumor, a mass mm-hmm. right there by her aorta, a cancerous mass.
Oh, wow.
And I'm just like, oh my goodness, you know, and I can so relate because, you know, I've gotten reports before and it looked terrible, but then God,
mm-hmm.
and they go back and they look at it, it's like, it's gone. It's like, it's yeah. God.
Right.
It's God. And so I was able to share with her about my experiences and just love on her, you know. And here I am with my arm around her back, and her husband's coming back from the buffet. It's like, I left for 5 minutes, and here he is. He's got his hand around my wife. I'm thinking, I'm going to be punched out. <You know? laughs> But I was just had such compassion. Just like, God, just you know, the only good in us is God. So God was just, you know, oozing out of me to her, you know, and I just didn't care. You know, I just felt this rescue feeling, you know, that God mm-hmm. just wanted to rescue her, and just tears pouring down both of her cheeks, you know, and she has a doctor that she was an oncologist type doctor that was, you know, didn't, if she would have took his advice, cause she had had this before, she's been cancer free since then. But if she would have took that doctor's advice, then she would be dead today because his advice was wrong.
Oh, wow.
And now here she is again with this doctor, and he's saying he wants to operate on her. And so as I was talking to her, she said, "I'm looking at this other doctor." And I was thinking, like, you wouldn't follow God with that. If God's, mm-hmm. you know, telling you different, you need to follow him. And it was just such a moment. You know, we got to learn to stop. Because how many miracles have we seen? I mean, God just heals.
Oh, yeah.
God will heal. If you're suffering, if you got it, the doctor told you something that's in your body and the enemy, you know, told you that this is it, just trust God and begin to, you know, speak against it. But don't stop serving God. And if you haven't started serving God, start serving God.
Mm.
And there needs to, I mean, people say, you know, they want to live, but the question is why?
Yeah.
So you can go to another Super Bowl game,
mm-hmm.
you know, so you can just go earn more money for another boat.
Right.
I mean, is there a reason to live? Mm-hmm. Think about it. Is there a reason or destiny? I mean, we're going to face God what we do in this life, right?
That's right.
And of course, this lady and this man were ministers,
mm-hmm.
and they were at a real difficult time. And, but we're able to be there.
Yeah.
And I want to just encourage you today to stop. Just stop like Jesus did. He would just stop when everybody thought he needed to move forward. He would stop and say, "Suffer not the little children to come unto me." He would say, "Stop," you know, and he would meet the needs, and people would think, "We got to move on." It's like he's ministering to this lady who lost her son, and he lays hands on this dead man. This dead young man, and he comes alive, you know, and all this, we got to learn. It's time. If you want to see, if we're going to see miracles, signs and wonders, and it's not for just one or two. Listen, this is what I believe is about to happen. And he says it in the book of Acts, and he says it in Joel, that he'll pour out his spirit on all flesh, and that everybody that are believers, signs will finally follow them instead of them following signs. You know,
right.
Something begins to happen and the entire church runs to where there are signs. And it's like, no, signs are supposed to follow you. These signs follow those who believe. In my name, you'll drive out. And I want to encourage you, quit defaulting to somebody else when you need God to move in your life. You believe God. You lay hands on them. You know, get your life right. You know, don't touch the unclean thing. But then once you've done that and you're abiding with God, I mean, don't go laying hands on somebody when your life's not right, because what's on you is going to be on them. So don't do that. But get your life right and then begin to, at the cross is the only place you can do that,
mm-hmm.
by the grace and mercies of God. And then just dive into the sea of humanity and love them.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know that God loves them and has a plan for their life. All the stuff that they're hearing right now is just a bombardment from hell, and it's all negative, and it's like everything's coming to an end, and you know, and everything's being taken over, and there's no good. And yes, it's going to be like the days of Noah when the Lord comes back, but not for those that come to God. Mm-hmm. God will protect those. And so I just want to encourage you, just stop. Just stop everything and love on them. You know, and just love them. I want you to be in agreement with me right now for Glenda, you know, and just lock in your faith with my faith. He says, you know, if you believe and you don't doubt in your heart, you know, it will be done for. If we ask for it, it'll be done according to our belief. And Lord, we just thank you right now that Glenda is healed, Lord.
Yes.
Make her a sign, make her a wonder,
and
cause many people to see your light in her life in Jesus' name. Well, with that, you know, I want to talk about so much today, you know, God's news behind the news, but we have the proverb. Every day we talk about the proverb, and today it is the 11th of the month. So we're looking at Proverbs chapter 11 today. We're going to pull just one or two scriptures we normally pull out. And you can get these, by the way, on the VFN TV app on your mobile device or your VFNTV.com. Or on the VFN TV blog. Also, a lot of that is there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And share it with your friends. You know, go copy. You can go to the VFN TV blog, copy the wisdom moment for the day or for yesterday, for example. And it's got a whole link there you can copy. And you can paste that in your Facebook. And if you have 10 friends or 20 friends or 1,000 friends, that out of that 1,000 friends, they would be encouraged that day. They would get wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have Twitter, you can actually copy that link and just say, like, today's wisdom, what we're talking about. You can actually share that with them. You know, you may not have a lot of time, but you can tweet.
Right.
You know, you can tweet it out. And it's so cool to watch people just be encouraged by something. And you just copy the link, you paste it in your Twitter account or your posting, your tweet, and it shrinks it down to the right, a smaller size, so it doesn't take up all your little characters or something. You know, John can explain that better when he's on Monday. But today, it is Wisdom Moment today. We call this our Wisdom Moment. It's Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. It reads, "The Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are his delight." Think about it. The Lord abhors, which means he hates and he's disgusted with dishonest business. That's what scales are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when, you know, businesses become in America about a lot of digital things and a lot of, you know, trading of thoughts, ideas, and intellectual properties. But there was a day trading meant you're going to go get some food.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get some seed. You know, you're going to get some basic principles, things for your life. And, you buy meat, you know, for all those who don't shop out there, I'm with you, that, you know, when the one who does shop in your relationship, that they go to the store and they will sell you a chicken, for example. I mean, chicken don't have a chance in America.
No.
It's amazing what Americans can do with chickens, right?
That's right.
But my ultimate best is fried, because I'm on a fried chicken diet. And for those listening in Mariana, go eat a piece of Po-Folk's chicken for me. Oh, my goodness. It's like the last one left, I think. But anyway, the just that name kind of messes with my faith. Like, I kind of want to eat. If you have like a, you know, blessed folks restaurant. But, you know, Proverbs 11:1, he says, he abhors dishonest scales, which means he hates, he has a hatred towards dishonest business. It's really important because, you know, so many Christians, people who profess to be believers, they have one faith in God on Sunday morning because that's where primarily, you know, most American Christians go to church.
Mm-hmm.
That, but they turn into a different person 5 minutes out the door.
Mm.
I mean, some of them, some people not all of them, some people actually, believe this or not, they go and join a gathering of people because they see them as a business opportunity. And they think, look, I want to join a big gathering of people because I can do a lot of insurance. Oh, I can do a lot of business here. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
And it's like, that is not the reason, sir, ma'am. That is never not the reason. And God sees that. He sees your motives. He sees that you're not there because you're in agreement with what God is doing there. You're not in agreement with that man or woman of God. You're looking at them as potential customers for your business. Disgusting.
Yeah.
In the eyes of the Lord. I mean, God will give you business and people will do business with you and we can do business with each other. But understand, if that's the reason why you joined, to get votes for your political aspirations.
Right.
You know, you show up, you know, once a year so your name's on the roll so you can get a vote. That's disgusting in the eyes of God, right? And so the Lord abhors dishonest scales. And right now, America's facing, you know, a confrontation with how we've been doing business. They're saying like the 99%. And they're coming against the 1%. And, you know, obviously those numbers are off. But they're making a statement. You know, it's quite often, you know, somebody who does not getting it will just say, well, that's not accurate. It's actually 92.1%. Like, don't you see what's being said? They're saying, whether right or wrong, they're saying the way business is being done is not right. But God will often use things out of control.
Right.
To get us to check ourselves, to find out, you know, are we in control? Are we in the right place with God? And God is into, you know, our, if only 97% of the church, 96 to 97% of the church is robbing God with the tithes and the offerings, for example, right? Toward a George Barna statistics. We are not doing the Father's business right. And if we're not doing his business right, we're not doing our business right.
Right.
But they, you know, people just say, "Oh, that's just business." It's like, no, look, he hates that.
Yeah,
he hates. Look, it's it's, you know, it's like, you know, it's. I think thank God hates dishonest business.
Yeah,
he even sees the adjustment on your gas pumps. You know, for example, if you're a gas station owner and the gas prices change today, and you know they change. And you know that your price is going to be cheaper for gas, and you could have lowered your prices and still maintained the profit margin, but you just wanted to give your customers, kind of, you wanted to be sluggish in your response because it would have given you a 5% increase that day. God noticed that you didn't adjust your numbers on your pumps.
Right.
He noticed that. If you don't check your scale before you weigh that chicken, sir, God notices that. You know, if you see... you have an issues with your scales on how you're weighing. For example, even when you go to the dumps, you know, they weigh your vehicle. Well, if you go in there, you know, deceptively with how you're bringing that vehicle in there, trying to get off cheaper, you know, some way you can make yourself seem lighter or that kind of stuff, that God sees that dishonestness. And vice versa, if the scales are wrong, he sees it. I mean, it's just so cool. He sees, if you're, this is the other good part about that. If you're doing business right, you know, in the fear of the Lord would be right. I mean, nobody's perfect.
Right.
You know, things just happen. The business, you know, businesses fail. Things don't always work out. People don't always buy your widgets, for example. But still, if you did it right, if you did it in the fear of the Lord, then you can have peace at night. Because this is what he goes on and says. He says, but accurate weights are his delight. So he delights in good business.
Right.
He delights in the fact that you do business right, that you go overboard to make sure that your books are right, that you, though you didn't have to have an accountant, you brought an accountant in because you wanted to have it scrutinized to make sure that your things were done right.
Right. I got a good example of that.
Okay.
It just happened this past week. You know, I was going through my checking account, you know, I always try to balance everything from week to week, make sure everything's cleared.
And that's a good idea.
Yeah, imagine that. And I discovered this one payment had not cleared yet. It was like $50 at a doctor's office or whatever. And it had been several weeks, so I thought it was strange. And, you know, and I just couldn't, you know, I couldn't sit with that. So what I did, I had, you know, I had my wife call the doctor's office to make sure that, you know, this wasn't a mistake. So they went and checked their records and says, oh, we'll get back to you. I don't know, another week went by. And they called back and they did find out it was a mistake. And they went ahead and reran it and, you know, make sure it was cleared. I mean, I just, my conscience could not live with that, knowing that, you know, we had could possibly take advantage of somebody.
Right.
You know, like that, so.
Freaks them out, don't it?
Oh, and I'm sure it did.
Totally freaks
them out.
I'm
sure it did.
You know, and you know, the mistakes happen. I mean, you look at the you know, how the Word of God, you know, he set up a particular time that every 50 years there would be a jubilee, and that if people were in debt, that we should actually, you know, let them free from their debt. And 7 years, there was a time for that as well. And, you know, if you've gone through, and many people right now are going through financial crisis and you're having to do things you thought you'd never have to do, but realize it's actually written in the Word. Sometimes those things happen and there's a grace for that. Just like you needed forgiveness in your, for sin of conscious sin, sometimes you need forgiveness in regards to, you know, business, because as a matter of fact, the government right now is looking for forgiveness mm-hmm. because they can't pay their bills. And the United States Constitution, by the way, and we're going to talk about it today, says that you can get forgiveness for that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can get forgiveness for and begin again.
Right.
Which is pretty cool. I mentioned an awesome opportunity for that. But I remember too that I remember a company that I was working for, and it was doing really well. And the company was doing really well. It was out of Texas. And give a shout out to all of our Texas listeners today. And it was out of Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all computerized in regards to how they're cranking checks out. And pretty much it's been like that for quite some time. And of course, they had a malfunction. They were going to give everybody a raise across the board. Mm-hmm. And we were all over the world and give us a raise. But the computer interpreted that, or the input or whoever it was, said pay them twice.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody got double pay.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got that many employees across the world, you know, and everybody's getting double pay, you know, independent business owners across the world, not employees. And you're getting checks, you know, for, you know, a couple thousand dollars extra.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had to think, you know, if as a business owner, they had to make a strategic decision. Do we want to just let them have this and move on? Or do we want to say, listen, don't, you know, to all these people, don't cast the check.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And as you can tell, dishonest scales of 97% of the church is robbing for God. They don't going to want to cast that check.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're going to want to cast the check. But before that even happened, I remember I was in my office and I was thinking about it, mm-hmm. like you're talking about.
Right.
And I knew that it was a double payment. I knew that it was wrong.
Right.
I knew that it was wrong. And it would have been ill-gotten gain.
Right.
And not only that, I was going to be killing the very company that I worked for. And so many people steal from their company. They don't understand. You're killing your own company.
Mm-hmm.
If you're taking stuff from your workplace, first of all, God sees it. Secondly, you're killing your own income. You're mm-hmm. killing your own business. You know. And so I took the check. And I think it was like $2,000, $2,100, something like that. And between me and God, nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
I just ripped it up. I just ripped it up,
wow.
threw it in the trash can. And then that week after that, that's when they made the decision. We're going to let everybody keep it.
Oh, wow.
But you know what?
Yeah.
I still would have been, if I would have cat, because you know what happened right after that? The company went down.
Oh, wow.
The company could not survive it.
Mm.
It did not survive it. And it just, the number two, it was number two in his industry worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And it went down to the bottom right after that.
Wow.
So the decision, if everybody would have made that decision, there's a probability that that company would still stand. Mm. Yeah, you got some today, but realize you cut off your tomorrow by doing
that's right.
that.
You bring a curse on yourself.
Exactly. And so, you know, making those decisions, and it's, realize the only person that's quite often, the only one that's going to pat you on the back for that or feel good about it quite often is maybe just you and God, and understanding that God delights in that. He delights in you know, making those kind of decisions. Nobody's perfect. Different personalities. There's like four basic personalities we'll be talking about in the future. So you have some people who are real good at managing the beans and counting their beans, and some people are just not good bean counters. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so what you do is you get with people who are good at counting beans, and that's why you can have integrity in that. You can bring people around you in your business, people around you in your ministry, people around in your life. You know that, you know, it's good at managing finances and managing business, and they can help you out to make sure you stay online with that. And God will honor that. So I just want to say right now, here we are facing a challenge in America. We bailed out the banks. We bailed out business. But we didn't bail out the people who they were doing business with and who they were banking with. And now the banks aren't even lending money to the people. And it's like, that's not going to work in the scales of God, is it?
No.
It's just not going to work. You know, it's just not going to work. And so understanding the word of wisdom today, that we can't just jump on the bandwagon and say they're wrong, because God will often use something out of control to bring us in control. We need to first check ourselves and say, wait a minute, maybe I'm doing business wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen some stuff
in,
in the business realm. You know, just because you got a fish on your sign doesn't mean you have a fish in your heart.
Right.
You know, it's like a magnet. It says, okay, put a small fish,
yeah,
and that'll bring the Christians in. And over here, put something else, that'll bring these guys in. It's like a marketing tool, you know?
Yeah, you remember that truck?
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about a truck. I know a man. And so, you know, yeah, we see Christians selling vehicles to other Christians, and they know that that vehicle is not going to last another day. I remember that, you know, once I sold a vehicle,
mm-hmm.
and I told them, I said, I'm selling it as is. I don't know what's wrong with it. You know, I don't know if it's going to make it another mile. It can make it forever. And so, believe it or not, that scares people. It's like, that's honest. I don't know. I don't even know if the car I have now is going to make it tomorrow. Yeah. And so, but I always say, you know, go check it out. Go take it down to this different people that will check out from bumper to bumper to make sure it's okay and get peace with it. And so, but I told them, I said, listen, if any reason that it doesn't work out for you, just come back to me and I'll give you the money back. And what else can you do?
Mm-hmm.
And so they drive the car for a couple of weeks or whatever. And, you know, anytime you get in a car, especially when you just buy it, you can hear everything.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? It just feels like, I just know it's about to fall apart.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the person comes back and says, you know, I don't think I want this thing. I think something's wrong. I said, okay, fine. Well, here's your money. And they wouldn't take it. They wouldn't take the money. They were just, I guess, checking, I guess, or something. Like, no, Lord, I don't know anything, but it's like, I'll take it back if you want to take it back. And we need to be that way because God is watching us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is watching us. And what happens when God watches you, people think you're thinking like them.
Mm-hmm.
They think you're strategizing. They're thinking like, how could you always do good in business? How could this, well, no, just God. You know?
That's right.
You know, it's like, I didn't even think that thing through. I just had the fear of God. And I was like, whatever you want to do.
I'm really not that smart.
No. Right? You know, and so then they try to control their way to that. And you can't control your way to that. You can't manipulate the market to that. You just got to trust God that he's good and he rewards those who diligently seek him.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a good God, a very, very good God. We'll be right back in just a moment. Amy Simple McPherson. I'm thinking about Amy Simple McPherson because, you know, she's one of God's generals and she was used powerfully by God. I think the Angelus Theater comes from her ministry, the Four Square Church. Just so many things have happened in her ministry. A lot of the Pentecostal charismatic, which is probably the biggest, mm-hmm. you know, happening move in the world, the earth today.
Right.
But I remember she was, she thought at one time in her life and her ministry, she just stopped.
Mm-hmm.
She stopped and she figured she was just going to get married and do the typical, you know, everyday thing. And then God began to deal with her heart. He began to deal with her heart because she stepped outside of her call. She tried to just divert it. And I like what Brother Ken Summerall, you know, says, you can't stay in that too long because the Holy Spirit won't let you do that in that situation when you're walking away from God. And so she tried to appease the Holy Spirit by, you know, saying, I'm going to teach Sunday school,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's good to sit down and learn the things of God, even if you have to do it on Sunday at 3 a.m. in the morning. I mean, ever how you can learn is good,
right?
You know, and sometimes Sunday school gets a bad rap. It could be a Saturday school and a Wednesday school, too. That's not wrong. Anyway, and it could be a 7 o'clock at night school.
Right.
Anyway, so with that, you know, she just resisted the Holy Spirit. And she was laying on the operating table, and she was about to take her last breath because it just overtook her body. She just couldn't take it no more.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and suddenly, mm-hmm. suddenly, like the roar of thunder,
mm-hmm.
you know, she'd made a decision that she was holding back on, and she said, with the last piece of breath of her body, she said, okay, God. Okay, I'll go.
Right.
I'll do what you told me to do. You know, and as soon as she did that, it totally lifted from her.
Mm-hmm.
And she made things right with God, and she began and continued her ministry, what we know her ministry today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things about, I remember when I was actually, you know, being called by God to the next season of ministry, which was deeper. I didn't understand it. I was a person that would just do something for God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would just do something. What do you want? I'll do it. I'll do it. And then I'll hand it over to somebody else.
Yeah.
And I'd do it and I'd hand it over to somebody else. And I'd do it and hand it over to somebody else. And then all of a sudden, one day, God said, don't. And mm-hmm. then I started taking more responsibility. But then one day it was like, no matter what I did for God, he wanted more, I thought. I was like, what do you want? I could just feel him compelling me and impressing on me. And I just didn't know what it was. And finally, I was in my office, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
I was in my office. I'll never forget this, you know, years ago. And I took my fist and punched the bookshelf.
Wow.
Can't do that, David. Probably break my head.
Something.
I was so frustrated. Mm-hmm. I'm like, because I loved God. I was doing for God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what do you want from me anyway?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And it, plain as day, the Lord says, you. Think about it. It was me that he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I kept on trying to do and do for him.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted me. He wanted all of me. It didn't matter what I was doing. It didn't satisfy. He wanted me, which is pretty awesome.
Wow.
You know, it makes me think of Peter Wagner and Steve Hill when they're talking about, you know, some people need different experiences. That was my experience.
Right.
But listen to this. You got to hear this. I'll be right back with you.
That's what happened. Let me just ask you.
We need more people swallowed by whales like Jonah. He was going to take it from Jonah, but Jonah learned his lesson.
He learned his lesson, and I think revival came out of all
that's
that.
That's right.
And so sometimes, and that's some people need that, by the way. Some people need Saul of Tarsus experiences, okay, which he needed. He was on his way to really hurt some people, okay, and he needed to have an encounter. Some people need encounters with God that are violent, and other people need, like, Lydia experiences, just, you know, kind. She was a seller of purple cloth and just became a believer. And so if God passes the ball to China, it's because China's going in India. India, we go there, and my goodness. It's like you go, stop. They want to run the cross so quick. They want a part.
We have one lady named Leanna in India. We commissioned her an apostle 3 years ago. And this is with Cheyenne's network. And at that time, one of the reasons we commissioned her, because she was outstanding. She had planted 3,000 churches in North India.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. Last week, Cheyenne told those of us who are on his board that she has now planted 5,000. I mean, 2,000 churches in 2 or 3 years. Yeah. By a woman apostle. We need a few of those here in America.
I lived, you know, you speak Spanish. I speak Spanish. Oh, you lived in, was it Bolivia?
Bolivia.
We think about that.
We lived in
Argentina. Over 3,000 churches.
Mm-hmm.
She planted over 3,000 churches. But, you know, just like Jonah, just like others, you know, sometimes you're going to have an, listen, there's more experiences to get your attention, but why go to another one? Maybe this very conversation that we're having now, you can just go, aha, that's mm-hmm. what that is. What does God want from me anyway? He has a plan for your life. He loves you. He can restore you. He can use you. And yes, whatever it took to get you to this point, so be it. Take it to the cross like Amy did and just say, here I am, God. You know, and just like Catherine Kuhlman did, she walked to the end of a road one day in her life when everything was coming to the end of itself. She says, all I have is my love, but I'll give it all to you.
Mm.
I give it all to you. If that's you right now, listen, this is for you. Vine Fellowship Network, just like Cheyenne's network, Vine Fellowship Network is a network. It's a rapid church planting movement, a wave that is beginning to wash across the land. You want to be a part of it? You can go to VFN Family, VFNFamily.org, VFNFamily.org, and find out more about it. You can be trained up and discipled and launched. It's time for us to do what he tells us to do, to be a doer of the word. VFNFamily.org. We are coming to the end of our first hour. Wow, how fast that was. God bless you. If you cannot make it to the extra hour today, I want to say have a blessed day. Don't forget the Lord is with you. Don't forget the agitation might be of your creation one, right? God's orchestrating it for you to work some stuff in and to work some stuff out. We'll see you in the extra hour for those that are joining us in just a few moments. VFN Radio, VFNTV.com.